This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people. The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best.
And welcome. It's an unusually warm October afternoon here at Vectis Radio. It's certainly warm in the studio, and I'd like to welcome the Chief Executive of the Hospice, Nigel Hartley.
Thanks,
welcome.
James.
And we've got Chip in the studio as well.
Hello.
Hello. Now, Nigel, it's been an incredibly busy year for you. I don't think you've been in the studio for about 9 months, and blimey, so much has happened over that time.
Well, time flies, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know since then one of the amazing things you've done is set up this hospice show.
We're really pleased to do it.
Yeah, and it's great to do, and I think it's a real connection.
Yeah, well, thank you for letting us do it, and thank you for letting Chip loose on the unsuspecting public over at the hospice.
I think they both enjoy that.
It's been really good.
Yeah, I know, and Chip's sort of doing quite a lot at the John Cheverton Centre, and I think, and you know, it's fantastic that you know people can come in from outside, whatever the background. And
Chip's,
do that.
Chip's a familiar face, and I think people recognise him now and knows why he's there, and you know, make a beeline to talk to him.
Well, there are lots of interviews that he's doing. There's one we're going to have to hold off until next week.
I think, Chip.
But
it's a real treat.
I know.
Well, keep us in suspense. We'll all be tuning in.
You've been doing some amazing things, Nigel. I mean, you've had alpacas come into the. To the John Cheverton Centre, haven't you? Hopefully not on the wards. But
no, they've been around. I mean, I think what's really growing more and more, and I think it's always been thus, that the community have supported the hospice incredibly well, but it seems as if there's some real momentum at the moment, and that feels really positive.
Well, it seems to me like every week there's something new happening, and you know, I've just been looking through the news on your website, and congratulations, because I know when you did Walk the White this year, you were actually saying we need to raise at least £300,000. And you did that, didn't you?
We've done that. I think at the moment it's around 310 or something like that.
Fantastic.
And it's phenomenal, really, that that this community gets behind this incredible cause and supports it in the way that it does. And, you know, year on year, that is. And you know, this year we've raised 40,000-50,000 more than we did last year for Walk the White.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, next year is a very important year. It's our 35th anniversary, and I don't want to push it too far.
No, I know. I mean, I don't want it to be like my boss at work, because you know, whenever he said 1 year, right, that you know, target for next year is 10% more, and you hit it,
and you know that
he's going to ask for another 10%.
And it's not really about that. I mean, of course it's about raising money, because we need to sustain our work and grow it and do new things.
Yes.
But you know, I suppose it's really sort of giving people a realistic challenge of what's possible. That, you know, there's this incredible passion and energy that comes together on that day, and people really want to do something. And you know, it's enabling people, supporting people to do the best they can.
Yeah. Now, people who don't like walking have got another opportunity to help the hospice, haven't they? Because you're using Halloween as a kind of entry point to get some volunteers. It says on your website you're not scary and you don't really bite. Is that true?
Only certain times of the week.
But you need 100 new volunteers, don't you, to help with
shops? That's just across our shops, yes. I mean, you know, inevitably... you know, we have an amazing group of volunteers, many of whom have been with us a very, very long time. But from time to time, you need to go back out to the community to recruit, let people know you're still there. And actually, you know, with new developments, there are maybe new things and new ways that people can help us.
Yeah.
So we need about 100 volunteers across our shops to really get them where they need to be.
Yes.
We want to make it as easy as possible for people.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the problem with volunteering these days is there's so much sort of red tape and legalese and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We want to try and make it easy for people to come and volunteer. And give their time. So, you know, anyone who wants to be in touch with us to talk about that and engage with us, we're really happy to hear from.
Great.
You know, volunteers we have in all areas of our organisation, and over the next year we have a planned recruitment process for all of the areas. So, again, Perfect. This at the moment we're looking at our shops, because that's where there's a real gap at the moment.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, if people have skills and have interests in other areas, please do get in touch with us.
Okay, perfect. Now, if they want to get in touch, what should they do? Go to the hospice website?
Go to the website and ring via the number there, or, you know, pop into the hospice, pop into one of the shops.
Yeah.
Someone should be able to help them there.
Okay.
But, you know, sometimes one of the issues is people might go in and say they're interested, and then it might be quite a while before they're followed up.
Yeah.
So what I would say to people is don't give up, and it's not that we don't want you. It sometimes takes some time.
Yeah, to work through the admin.
Yeah.
No, they don't have to work full time, do they?
No,
if they're working in one of the shops, because I know one lady just works sort of half a day a week or something like
exactly.
that.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, commitment and regularity is important in these kinds of things. But also, sometimes for some people, they may say, "Well, actually, I've got a month in the summer.
Yeah,
you know, I'd like to come and give you a couple of days a week." We want to try and really make those things happen.
Yeah.
So anything is possible. We'll try and work with you to make it possible.
Yeah.
So come and talk to us.
That's fantastic. And I think one of the things you did when you came here to the island, Nigel, was you went round a lot of the shops to meet people. I mean, there's some incredibly enthusiastic people out there.
There are, absolutely. And I'm just, again, on a sort of programme of going around all the shops. I'm going over to Wootton this afternoon to meet people there. And, you know, it's really important. And it's very, in the sort of, there's so much stuff we're doing, it's very easy for our shops to feel quite isolated out there in the community.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I say time and time again, it's basically the hospice on the high street. I mean, we are there.
Yeah.
And it's a really important thing for us that people engage with us through their shops.
And I think people, you know, do like to, you know, when they have a clear out, go to the hospice shop.
Yeah.
I mean, we're certainly planning a huge clear out very shortly. We've got some nice pictures for you.
Yeah.
Now, Chip, this is something you could do.
Yeah.
What about volunteering at a hospice shop? Have you thought about it?
That is something new, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be really interesting. You could interview people there as well, couldn't you, for the show?
That would be good.
Well, good, yeah.
So, stick with us, and we'll hear more about that in a couple of weeks, if you make your mind up, Chip. In the meantime, here's Scarlett, Independent Love Song. Please stick with us, Nigel, because we want to talk about some music coming up at the hospice.
Yeah. Good.
You could say this was I'm doing it a different way.
It was Scarlett, an Independent Love Song. It's the Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show here, and we've got Nigel Hartley, the Chief Executive, in the studio with Chip and me here, and we were talking about what a fantastic year it's been in terms of activity. Your annual review has just come out, Nigel, and that sort of captures some of the things that have happened.
Yeah, and I think one of the most amazing achievements, really, for the organisation has been sorting out its funding and finances. So, you know, we've had a very good year in terms of doing that, and that's really due to all staff and volunteers engaging in helping us to look at our costs and how we're spending our money, because there's something important about all of us realizing, including myself, we have a responsibility to spend the money we're given as wisely as possible.
Exactly. But there's still, you know, a lot of new things coming out. I mean, the Kissy Puppy Bereavement Service, which we talked about last time.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk about Death Chat as a little bit later in the show. I mean, it's great in terms of the outreach
absolutely
to the community.
And, you know, I think one of the really important things for us is people understanding that we're not doing anything new unless we've got money to pay for it.
Yeah.
And that's really important.
Yeah.
So that we're not just, you know, randomly trying new things and just believing the money will turn up. We're making sure we've got the money before we do it.
No, fabulous.
So, it has been a good year, and I think the annual review's a good reflection of that. And you know, if people want a copy of that, again, they can get in touch with us and we can send it to them, but it will be available on the website too.
And that's iwhospice.org.uk.
That's right.
Fantastic. Now, you've got some concerts coming up. You started a concert series. You've had some fantastic pianists, I think.
We did it for the first year. The first year came to an end in August.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had some ups and downs with that, as you do with every new thing you start. But this year, we've really gone for it great guns. We've had great audiences the last few concerts. And I think one of the new things this year is West White Arts have been incredibly kind to us in terms of letting some of their artists perform at the hospice the night before they do concerts there.
That's very good.
So a couple of weeks ago we had a great pianist, Viv McLean, who came over, and that was just an amazing evening of really high quality music.
And,
you know, one of the things around these concerts, you know, sometimes I sit there and think, gosh, you know, to have music of this quality in this organisation is really quite surprising. And that's part of why we do them. We want people to come and be surprised and to really enjoy it.
Are people going to be surprised by the Alberts next week?
I think, you know, the Alberts are a local band. And again, we try and have a mix of different kinds of music for people.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have people who know them. So hopefully that'll bring in a different audience.
So these are a guitar, double bass, mandolin, fiddle and banjo.
Yeah.
And some vocals as well. Sounds good.
Yeah. And they play music from the 50s right up to the present day, I think.
So. Yeah. So... Just to remind people, that is going to be on Thursday, the 3rd of November, just That's as right. a sort of precursor to, I guess, fireworks night on the Saturday,
yes.
to warm you up for that. 7:30 over at the hospice. And the great thing is, tickets are only £10, and that includes a glass of wine and some canapés.
Yeah, and our canapés are getting some real notice. So
they're really, really, really good canapés. Actually,
they're made in our own kitchen, so that's good.
I know. I actually took a tip from your chef, because I know how he gets those pastry cases.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So last time we had a big party, I ordered them off Amazon, and they're absolutely fantastic.
And then you can do your own thing.
Exactly. Yeah. No, but it sounds like a wonderful evening. But there's even more to that evening, I understand, because there's going to be a secret auction.
There is.
Tell us about that.
Oh, nice.
Well, one of the other developments over the last year has been around a monthly sort of art exhibition at the hospice in our new art gallery. So local artists every month come in and show their work. So this past month, we've had this extraordinary project with the Blue Fox Gallery in Ryde, where a number of artists across the island have created a piece of art in the size of a postcard.
Yeah.
The work hasn't been signed, so we don't know who's painted them.
Yep.
And people have the opportunity to bid on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be done at that concert on the 3rd of November. We have an auctioneer coming in who's going to do an auction for us. And what's great is, you know, you might end up with a piece of work by a very well-known artist on the island, or you might end up by a piece of work by someone like myself. But, you know, it's all unknown, and it's going to be secret in that way. So.
And will they ever find out?
Oh, yes.
They do find out. Yeah, that's what I wanted to know.
Good. Yes, they will.
Well, I think you can bid on those until close of play tomorrow, which is Thursday, the 27th of October.
Yeah.
But you can also do it on the evening as well.
Yeah.
I think there are over 80 of these postcards, and you can see them at the hospice at the moment until tomorrow night.
They are there up until tomorrow night. Yeah,
fabulous. Yeah. Well, look, Nigel, is there anything else you want to tell us about at the moment that's coming up?
Gosh, I suppose it might be a good opportunity to give an early bit of news around our 35th anniversary next year.
Oh, yes, next year.
The hospice has been on the island for 35 years. We want to celebrate that, which we think is very important, and we want the island to get behind us in celebrating.
Yeah.
You know, so we have a number of events planned that we will be publicising. There's a service at the Minster in Newport on Thursday, the 4th of May.
Mm-hmm.
And also we have a day of events at the hospice on October the 13th, which is the actual day of the anniversary, where people who were here right at the beginning and all kinds of other people will be coming to celebrate. Alongside that, we are going to take the opportunity to go for a public appeal.
Right.
And that really is around our commitment to make sure that our work reaches more people. So what we want to do is develop on-site at Newport. There's a building at the moment which needs some work on it. We want to turn that into an education facility.
Yeah.
Because really we realise the way we are going to reach more people is around teaching other people to do what we do.
Yes.
And we're being asked more and more to do that. So we're teaching the NHS, we're teaching domiciliary care agencies, we're teaching staff in care homes.
Yeah.
And we have the link with Southampton University.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're wanting to grow our influence across the island by teaching other people.
And you've got an Admiral Nurse now, of course.
We have, yes, absolutely. So focusing on dementia, really important area for us to develop, and we're looking at how we do that. But the nurse who's in that role is a very experienced end-of-life nurse who's taken it on.
Good.
So she is working particularly with patients coming to the end of life with dementia. And if there are any people out there who are in the system, we need to know about them.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
You know, get in touch with us.
No, yeah, because you can sort of self-refer, can't you?
Which is
fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I hope next year is going to be just as successful as this one.
Yeah, thank you. Well, we'll have a go.
Many congratulations.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Well, it's been wonderful having you on the hospice show.
Thank you for the show. It's fantastic.
No, it's a pleasure. We'll try and get as much content as we can. Yep. I know there's going to be a lot coming out at Christmas, and we won't talk about that now, but we can talk about that in the show in a couple of weeks' time. Yeah. Chip, in the meantime, is going to be popping up all the time at the hospice, interviewing people, and we've got some guys out there who are going to talk about Death Chat, which is on Tuesday evenings. So thanks very much.
That's right, you're welcome.
The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best. Putting the community back into local radio. This is Vectis Radio. VectisRadio.com. For the people, by the people. I've still got a lot of
fire left in me. Well, welcome back to the Hospice Show. I've got Perry Hayden and Tony Collard with me. And perched on my shoulder, I have got Judith and Marion, who's looking very, very cheeky there. They're a long way off, actually, which is how I like it on this show. Perry and Tony, look, you do something which, you know, it's quite difficult to talk about, because on a Tuesday evening at the hospice, there is this thing called Death Chat, isn't there? Perry, could you just tell me a little bit more about what Death Chat is?
Okay, Death Chat is an opportunity to meet with people who are interested in any aspect concerned with death and dying. And I guess it's a biggie. It's an important one. It's something that is a bit of a taboo in our culture.
Yes.
But hey, we know we're here today. The only other certainty we have is that one day we'll die.
Yeah.
And it's a way, perhaps, of sorting through anxieties and meeting with like-minded people.
So you're a volunteer, obviously, at the hospice, but are you also sort of affected by, you know, what's going on with Death Chat? Are you also a patient?
I'm not a patient, no. I'm simply a volunteer at the hospice.
So who comes along to these? Obviously, the volunteers, but, you know, patients will come along, but do people just literally come off the street or come from Newport when they hear about it? And
well, I've only been going recently, so maybe Tony would be better to answer that.
Okay, Tony, let me put that to you.
Yeah, there's always someone from the hospice facilitating.
But I know Marion does that. Yeah. There are two others, I think, yeah.
Yeah, there's often one, two or three volunteers, but then people do come off the street. Sometimes other members of staff come along, but it's a message that I believe in, because as Perry's just said, the only other thing about that we've got with any certainty aside from the present is that at some time we'll die. And I think it's a subject which is, for some people, they put it behind a closed door so that when they become exposed to it, this can come out at the worst possible time and cause all sorts of anxiety. So I believe in talking about it.
So do you find a lot of people who do come, you know, are obviously faced with death themselves and are frightened? Or is it more sort of relatives of people who are suffering or, you know, need the services of the hospice?
I think I've seen more people who have fears or anxieties as opposed to relatives. But then sometimes a relative can bring someone in who's got concerns.
Yes, exactly. Now, does it get religious at all or not?
It can go anywhere. It's such a free, organic decision. Sometimes we start off with a theme, but then there are so many ideas sparked off, and it just depends on the mixture of the group, who's got concerns, who's got worries, who's got ideas. The conversation can go in any direction.
Okay, how do you reach a resolution on these things?
I don't think there is a resolution, because we're talking about a lot of unknown things.
Yes, exactly.
However, it's always done in a very nurturing and caring way, and my experience of Death Chat is that I come out buzzing. Yes. I've heard a lot of people share deep, intimate thoughts. I've equally shared mine, and we form connections. It is a form of group therapy.
Yes.
I guess, and one can take from it what one likes and leave the rest.
No, that's interesting. Can I come back to both of you in a second? We've got to get a track on now, which is Hypnosis by Mud. But I would like to ask you, particularly after we get back, is there a difference between the way the two sexes approach death? So if you could just have a think about that, and then we'll come back to you in a moment. Thank you. That was Mud and Hypnosis, and I'm here with Tony Collard and Perry Hayden, and we're talking about death, you know, as three men with two women looking on, I was just asking you, do you think when you have these death chats on a Tuesday night, there is a real difference in the ways that men approach death and women approach death?
I think that's a very difficult question to answer. Within the group, it's my experience that both male and female members of the group chip in and have quite expansive ideas to share.
Yeah, well, that's good, Perry. But do you think men might naturally not want to come to the group because they're sort of holding things inside? I mean, when my father was dying, I remember, you know, he and I just really couldn't talk about death very much. He wanted to die, and he said he wanted to die, but we never talked about it other than that. And I think, you know, both of us were sort of holding a lot back. So do you think it's sort of self-selecting in terms of the men that come to the group might be the ones who are more open to chat?
I guess it might well be, and I quite understand your sort of the stereotypical view of the male that you're talking about here. And yeah, I mean, I've got a few very good friends who are men, and I can think of one of them who's able to talk very deeply.
Yes.
I can think of others who are still very good friends, but perhaps we don't have that level of conversation.
Yes.
And there is a reticence there to do that because, hey, we're men.
Yeah, exactly.
But actually, my personal experience is that to talk deeply, openly and frankly is a fantastic vehicle for personal growth.
Yes, yeah. Can I just ask about, we were talking about spirituality a little bit off air a few minutes ago. One point you made was that, you know, actually it is, you know, sometimes men who are, you know, looking at death in a very spiritual way.
Yes.
And I think that was, you know, the Dalai Lama and Buddha and...
Yes, those were the two people we mentioned. And I think that was in relation to, you know, is it only women that gather in groups and talk deeply on emotional and intellectual subjects, or were there men? And those were the two that immediately came to mind.
Yes,
as leading amazing, worldwide influence in spirituality, and obviously they kind of put the stereotype to one side.
Yeah, exactly. Tony, can I just ask, what does this mean for you? I mean, when you come out of these groups, do you feel better for having discussed things?
Yeah, very. I've learnt an awful lot. I feel very privileged that a lot of people who bare their souls almost, but I get a lot of pleasure. Aside from that, I get a lot of pleasure if I see or hear that someone has gone out of the group and they've felt uplifted.
Yeah.
Right. I get a tremendous amount of satisfaction from that. But then I've got a nature which is a fairly nurturing nature.
Yeah.
I know that the three people who've had by far the most influence on me in my adult life, very spiritually, have been three women.
Yeah.
There is one other man that I could talk to that... By and large, it has been women, but I mean, Perry talked about the Buddha and the Dalai Lama, but of course they come from completely different cultures to what we have in the West.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
if people want to come along and sort of chat through these issues more, do they need to book, or do they just turn up?
No, they just pitch up.
So it's a Tuesday evening. What time should people come along?
6 o'clock.
We start at 6 o'clock, so 5 to 6.
Okay, so just report in at the John Cheverton Centre.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, look, thank you very much, Perry and Tony, for joining us today. I'm sure we'll hear quite a lot more from Marion, who chairs some of these meetings, and we'll get Marion to have a little chat with us in a minute. But in the meantime, thank you very much for joining
us
today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Vectis Radio.
Putting the community back into local radio.
They think they're from the 60s. They were born in 1990.
Nina Nesbitt, and that was Stay Out. Just a few moments left here on the Old Matt Batten Hospice Show, and Marion is with us. Marion Tosca, you chair some of those death chats, but I think let's end on a slightly more cheery note, because it's Christmas round the corner, and you do a lot of Christmas decoration classes, and I think there's going to be one tonight, Marion.
There is, on a Wednesday evening. We have an open art class, no experience needed, and on a run-up to Christmas we're doing Christmas crafts. We had 15 people last week, which was fantastic.
Yeah. That's amazing. That is amazing. You must be doing something right, Marion.
Well, we've been doing mosaic mirrors, and I've managed to get some clay from Key Arts for tonight, so we're going to do some pottery, leaf dishes,
right?
And yeah, everyone welcome. So if you're free between 6:30 and 8:30 tonight, come along.
Oh, that sounds good.
Sounds brilliant.
I think leaf dishes are a good idea, aren't they?
I think they'd be great for crisps or olives
or sweets or whatever you like.
Yeah. And you don't have those sort of circular platters that, you know, like in Ghost, where you sort of have to make pots or anything.
No, I
haven't
got a wheel where I have some hunky young man.
Patrick Swayze or something like that. Exactly. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Anyway.
He sounds a bit whispering, Mario.
Well, good luck with your leaf plates tonight. And if anyone wants to come along, it's at the John Cheverton Centre.
It's at John Cheverton Centre.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, it's been wonderful having you in. Sorry it's been so short. We've had a busy show today. And of course, you'll be back with us, I think, in a fortnight.
Yep, looking forward to that.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
Bye bye.
The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best.
www.vectisradio.com.